Thank goodness that Hap and OB make any interest in the Bears game so entertaining.
Yes.
Every week. I was listening last week, and, you know, I'm not the biggest sports head in the world, but I could not get enough of Hap and OB. Those guys are hilarious.
Yeah, I think we're still trying to repair the one microphone that OB was using the other day.
That's fantastic.
Bob Ferguson told me it's been fixed twice.
I love it. I love how he's just, like, he's talking, and he's working himself up.
Oh, yeah.
So not anything that Hap is saying to him, or and he like self implodes.
Because he understands what he's saying at that point.
Love,
you know,
the
and he's thinking, yeah, he just, you know. And it's
so just, honest. It's so
that's
fantastic.
What it is. You know, people ask me if it's an act, and I'm like, no. It is not an act. There's no script to the show.
It's so honest. It's from the heart, and there is nothing better to listen to.
It's awesome.
It's awesome. How mad are they going to be getting today? Because the Chiefs are not going to be easy to get by.
I don't think they'll be quite as upset, because I don't think anybody really expects the Bears to win this game. But there'll be some choice words, I have a feeling, in the pregame show, especially after the commentary that Justin Fields went off on Wednesday.
On the coaches,
and then walked it back. And, of course, there's been a change in the coaching staff with defensive coordinator Alan Williams resigning.
Right.
So I'm sure there'll be some things that we'll chat about that during the pregame show.
What is your prediction for today's game?
It's not going to be good. It's going to be ugly. Because Kansas City hasn't really scored yet. I mean, they're usually one of the higher scoring teams in the league. They got their tight end back last week, Travis Kelce, so that's an extra worry for the Bears. The Chiefs will probably score 35 points, and the Bears might score 17. Might.
That's an outrage.
Well,
I tell you, that's crazy.
You can't handle the truth.
We can't pass the ball. We can't run the ball, and we can't score points.
And that's nothing.
No, that's nothing at all.
That's nothing. The only other person with any knowledge of this on this show is producer Jack. What is your prediction for today's game, Jack?
I'm with Andy.
Yeah,
it's going to be ugly.
Schwani?
I bet you he thinks it's fine.
Oh, I think it's fine. We'll be watching.
It won't be fine.
It'll be anything but fine.
I'll be taking a nap. I'm predicting 40 Z's for Uncle Dean.
Right. I don't even know if I can watch.
I have a new name for that character, by the way.
The OB.
OB2. Yeah.
That is 2.0B.
2.0B.
That's good.
Yeah.
Schwani's got that nailed. I love that. All right. Well, they're coming up at 11 o'clock today. Andy's new best friends. One of them who keeps breaking all the equipment. It's the singer called Usher.
Oh, it's Usher.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know Usher?
I know the name. Yes. Oh, I think it's fine.
Oh, you kids and your music. You kids and your crazy music. Usher is officially announced as the performer for the Super Bowl halftime show.
Huh.
How about that?
That's nice.
Yeah. He's got lots and lots of hits. He's doing a Las Vegas residency. I mean, for those of you who don't know Usher, you know, and just go, who's that? Usher. Usher, yeah, he used to give me my seats at the movie theater. Remember those days, Schwani?
I do.
Sit down.
Guy with the flashlight.
Yeah.
You'd walk through the aisle. Yes.
Yeah, you give it.
And they were dressed in a coat and a tie.
Oh, see? Mm-hmm. Now you really remember.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I mostly remember when they would throw me out of the theater for sneaking in the fire escape door. I'll go in, and then I'll open the door, and you guys can come in. The usher would be standing there waiting for us all. Usher is one of the most popular artists out there, R&B, kind of hip-hoppy, I guess, mostly R&B. But he is scheduled to perform at Super Bowl, what is it, LVIII.
Yep.
Would that be 58?
58.
58. And it's going to be in Las Vegas, right, this year?
Allegiant
Paradise, technically Paradise, Nevada, just outside of Las Vegas. So so there you go. There's your latest Super Bowl halftime performer news.
I wonder what show number this is in Roman numerals.
Of our show?
Yeah. Hmm.
I never kept track. I guess we could go back and figure it out. Do they have Roman numerals that go that high?
Oh, sure.
Been doing this for a long time.
I know.
I meant just today's show. Just the first 17 minutes of today's show. Seems like a long time.
Way too long. Yes.
Are we doing a telethon here this morning? What are we doing here today? I don't know. Because we started doing Sunday morning, I think. You know, I'm the worst with keeping track of the dates and things like that. I think we started the Sunday show in 1998.
98, okay.
I think so.
I've been on with you on a regular basis since the end of 2010.
You're telling me.
You're telling me.
So...
So I don't know how
I'll have to go through it.
I don't know how many LLVs.
LLX. It would be like LXLLXXXIIIIIII.
It's too many L's for me.
The I's have it.
I'm L'd out. All right. So on the show today, Dr. Kevin Most is going to join us. In a little while, we'll have the stars of the Lehman Trilogy, which is currently playing over at the Broadway Playhouse. Really interesting show, really interesting performers. That'll all be coming up for you. But in about an hour, we're going to be talking about with a young man who I met last night at Pat Tomasulo's Laugh Your Face Off benefit. Pat Tomasulo from the TV morning show. Every year holds a benefit for to raise funds to for research for trigeminal neuralgia, which is something that his wife Amy has been living with for a very long time. Trigeminal neuralgia is a condition under which the patients live with chronic pain in their face. Chronic pain, debilitating chronic pain in their face. And there's no cure, and they're trying to create a cure. Last night, they raised $600,000 for this. It's pretty amazing. With a night of stand-up comedy. Pat is an amazing stand-up comic himself. He was hilarious. There were many other stand-up comedians who were part of this, but also they showed a video of... A family that went through trigeminal neuralgia to a very tragic end. The mother, whose name was Kelly, suffered from trigeminal neuralgia, and it's the story told by her son, who watched his mother in this chronic pain, and then endured when his mother took her own life because she couldn't take the pain anymore. And he is a singer, a songwriter and a singer, and he sang a song for his mom last night. There wasn't a dry eye in the house. It was beautiful. It was touching. And I just wanted to bring some light to all of this. And we'll talk with that young man coming up a little bit later on. So there you go. That's the show today. And then Happen OB will yell at you for 2 hours. Nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Did we get the microphone fixed?
Yeah, I don't know.
Now, what did he do to the microphone exactly?
I don't know. It was just kind of...
Because they don't break when you just talk into them.
No, they break when you kind of raise your voice
a
little bit. Yeah.
Was he strangling the microphone?
No, he was just a little vocal.
I've never heard of that in my entire career, somebody getting... kind of yelling into the mic, basically.
Yes, I was running. You know, I run the board for the show, and
you do so much more than run the board.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I do. I'm the engineer.
You are the ringmaster.
Yeah,
I had picture the old fashioned Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus.
My top hat.
And in one ring there are lions, and another ring there are tigers, and another ring there are mad eating elephants. Is there such a thing as a mad eating elephant?
There is now.
There is no
Andy is the ringmaster in the middle of all that, keeping order. So
trying.
Much more than just running the board, as we say in the business.
Yeah, it's
pushing the buttons.
Correct, but it was a little bit of a yelling situation that kind of peaked the mic, shall we say, in radio terms.
A coaching staff that can't coach and players that can't win. That's what I've seen.
And that's nothing.
No, that's nothing.
Oh, no.
Oh, when he gets revved up, I'm telling you, I actually stopped my car to listen. When he was getting, as he gets revved up and, you know, like revs himself up, have you ever thought of having a tranquilizer gun handy?
No,
during that show in case things get out of hand?
Yeah, it hasn't gotten to that point. So I'm hoping that it, you know, stays the way it is, because, you know, we can...
Have you thought about doing a smooth jazz show during the...
That would be nice.
Oh, my God.
Some nice Kenny G music in the background.
Yeah.
That, I don't know if that would calm anybody. I think that might make them a little more angry.
That would make me angry. I went through years of therapy just to get all that out of my head after 3 years of that. Anywho. That's what we've got coming up for you here in our abbreviated show today. The writer's strike looks like, I'll bet you they're going to end the writer's strike today.
Hmm.
They've been talking for the last several days.
The studio said it's their last offer.
Well, yesterday, all the reports that I heard from my inside sources are saying that really they have come to an agreement. They're just ironing out the language now to put into the contract. And they have scheduled talks again for today. And I'll bet you they're going to announce something today. So the writers' strike could finally be over after, when did it start? Last May? Something? I'm pretty sure that's when it started. So we'll keep an eye on all of that for you here today. We've got, I've got the top five cologne scents.
Okay.
I was trying to figure out some way to transition into that.
Do you have any high karate in there?
There is no. I was looking for, much like some of the running backs, I was looking for a place somehow to get that out there onto the field. And there really was just no way to do it except to say there is a list that was made available probably by some cologne manufacturers of what are the top five cologne smells.
Hmm.
Are you guys cologne wearers?
No.
Every once in a while.
No.
Never, Schwanny?
Not
you don't
since
sound mad
college.
About it.
No, no, no. Just I not since college.
Tricar Noir.
Was the finest cologne Walgreens sold.
Uh-huh. No, I haven't worn it.
I used to wear Tricar Noir.
Wasn't there Aramis, too, or something like that?
There was
Aramis. Yeah.
Polo.
I like Polo Black.
Polo Black?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I don't wear cologne very often, but I bought some. How's this for some name dropping? I bought some when I was in Venice, Italy. I specifically waited to buy some there because I was told that that's where Cary Grant bought cologne.
Mm.
It's a cologne that's called Acqua di Parma.
Okay.
And it's fantastic. I love it.
The Water of Parma.
The Water of Parma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cary Grant used to wear that cologne, and if it was good enough for him, it's good enough for me. And I could never find it in the United States. And whenever the last time I was in Italy, it's like, I'm going to try to find some. And I found some. And I have a bottle. I hardly ever use it. But
special occasions.
I always think I smell like Cary Grant right now. If you were to sniff me right now. And by the way, when you meet me on the streets, please feel free to take a sniff. Anytime. I'm usually pretty sniffable.
I'm glad we're in different rooms. That's all I can say.
Jealous. So occasionally I'll wear that. But back in the 80s, whoo, I was a walking cologne bomb. You ever be around people who they put too much cologne on?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
All right. You're asking.
I thought you might have a little.
No, I'm numerous stories of, you know, being, you know, passing by someone, right, or
how about when you get in an elevator
oh, with them?
Get in an elevator, yeah, with somebody and they've got like way too much. What'd you say? High karate.
Yeah.
High karate.
So the worst is actually when you when that person
you remember that, don't you?
Oh yeah.
When that person exits the elevator, yeah, and then somebody else gets in, maybe another floor down.
Right.
They think it's you
yeah, with too much cologne.
It's right? Terrible.
Yeah. Very true.
They just kind of glare at you.
Yeah.
Yep. The number one cologne, by the way, is something called Gravite.
Okay.
Gravite. Gravite. So.
No idea.
The fancy way of saying gravity. Gravite.
That's so they could charge you a little bit more for it.
That's right.
That's my big addition to the show today. Nice. We'll see what Schwani's got with the far forecast. Good morning, Dean and friends. Thanks for making my Sunday. Thanks for talking about overdone perfume or cologne. Try being a server. If it's not your table, it's somewhere in the restaurant. There's no getting away from it.
I can imagine. Yeah.
How about that? You're trying to eat and you got to smell somebody's Paco Rabanne.
Was it Paco Rabanne or Paco Rabel?
I don't know.
It all smells the same.
It all,
yeah. Now, by the way, we're just talking about men's cologne, but ladies, you do it too. Ladies over perfume sometimes. How about bad cologne and cigarette smoke?
Oh.
That's a nice combo. 815, I teach and try being around junior high school boys who bathe in Axe. That cologne, that spray, Axe spray.
Oh, Axe.
Oh, the spray stuff.
AXE, yeah.
Yeah.
I used to use that stuff back in the day in the booth at Wrigley Field.
Axe?
Oh yeah, just because it was a hot summer. It was a hot summer day, and we were really feeling no air conditioning.
Oh, that makes it worse.
And Santa used to turn around and go, "What is that?"
Ronnie, can only imagine. Well, we have not heard the end of this.
You know,
cologne conversation.
It's about, you know, every so often we get something that really gets the text line going.
Yep.
Yep. Very, very welcome to hear all of that.
Yes, yes. So we are your new cologne defense station from now on. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for your far-flung forecast, a weekly compendium of fascinating facts and figures. And here with the latest, as always, Dave Calvin Klein Schwan.
Well, good morning, friends and neighbors. Thank you very much, Uncle Dean.
Hang on, I have to get my protractor out.
Get out your compasses and protractors, yeah, and your newfangled devices. We're actually going to stay in your newfangled devices.
Like what?
Like the automatic app things on the phone.
The automatic app things.
Yeah. Okay, you know what? The thingamabobbers.
Okay, Grandpa. Hey, you kids and your
automated app thingies.
iPhone, schmiphone.
Well, you know, you were playing that hopscotch music there a little while ago.
What?
So. I'm sorry. Yeah. Hopscotch? It's hopscotch.
Hopscotch?
No, I'm sorry. It's hip hop. That's what it is. Jeez. Okay.
Oh, Lord.
Where's my cologne when I need it? Back to you, Schwani.
All right. Continuing, before we were so interrupted by cologne talk.
Yeah. Before Grandpa came in the studio.
What kind of cologne does Grandpa wear?
I like Old Spice. I like that Old Spice.
The combination of that and a cigar.
You know what I like? I like lye soap. Good old lye soap is what I like.
There's nothing like it. Today, our far-flung forecast takes us, we are in Illinois, but we're going way southwest now to Elsa, Illinois. ELSAH. Illinois. ELSA, Illinois is just across the Mississippi River from St. Louis, actually. It goes back to 1853. Current population is 519. Hmm. But we mention ELSA because the entire town, or most of the town, is on the National Register of Historic Places. Just some beautiful old buildings there. It is on the Great River Road and has been voted one of, if not the one of the most scenic places, and there are many in Illinois, especially now on this very first full day of fall.
Oh, yeah.
That might be a nice place for a fall drive along the Great River Road along ELSA, Illinois. Population 519, and we've got 72 degrees there.
Nothing better than a nice drive to watch leaves die.
I wonder what kind of cologne they sell in ELSA.
I don't want to project. I don't know.
If you Does go Dr. To the, Most want to join us after this conversation now?
Maybe we can do a road trip and go to the Piggly Wiggly there and see what there's with our weekly visit with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Kevin, good morning to you, my friend. We've been talking this morning about the overuse of cologne. I would imagine as a doctor, you probably have encountered that with patients, somebody who bathes themselves in cologne before they come in for a doctor's appointment.
Yeah, I guess I have, Dean. It's I don't think it's a medical condition per se, but we always need to check is their nasal passages working? Do they smell the same thing we're smelling?
That's what I was going to suggest, that perhaps right. There is some kind of nasal thing going on. Plus, since we brought this up, somebody texted in saying that I am an RN. And there was another certain RM I worked with who bathed herself in perfume that would put me in an asthma attack every time. Is that possible that if somebody is wearing too much cologne, or I guess it's like just a pollutant, right?
Absolutely. You know, there's many different irritants that are in the air that can certainly trigger asthma, and that would certainly be one. Anything that can trigger the asthma that can make those airways constrict to cause the symptoms of asthma can be anything from pollens all the way up to something as bad as a perfume. And so it's extremely possible.
Yeah, yep. Very interesting. Very interesting. So I was talking about Pat Tomasulo's benefit that he had last night at the Park West called Laugh Your Face Off, a benefit to raise money for research for trigeminal neuralgia, which is a condition that Pat's wife lives with, in which her face is in chronic pain most of the time, chronic, debilitating, nonstop pain. Can you talk a little about what trigeminal neuralgia is?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, great that Pat is using this forum for this, because it's an illness, it's a disease that doesn't get a lot of fanfare. And I've spoken to Pat a couple times about it, especially through COVID. And, you know, you go, wow, you know, what his wife suffers from here. The trigeminal nerve is a nerve in our face that provides sensation to our face. So when you touch your face, when you feel anything, when you're smiling, when you're doing that, the sensation of that sends a message from the nerve to your brain to tell you where.
There we go. The phone line. This happens every single week during Dr. Kevin Most's segment. And I don't want to say anything. We jokingly started a pool of, you know, when do you think Kevin's conversation is going to get interrupted? You know, jokingly thinking that it wasn't going to happen. I said 9:44. It's 9:44. Do I know my technical malfunctions or what? So we are attempting to get Kevin back on the phone line right now, and that should happen any second. And we'll continue talking to Kevin about the trigeminal neuralgia. I want you all to know a little more about it. But also, we've already got a bunch of questions coming in on our text line, and we'll get to those coming up. If you have a question for Kevin, if we can manage to keep him on the phone line for more than 5 minutes. We'll get your questions in. Kevin, are you back with us again?
Hey, Dean, do you remember those old pay phones where it used to say, insert 10 more cents or you will be cut off? You know?
We're thinking of running a string with two orange juice cans, one with you and one with us, so we can have a reliable form of communication every week. I can't believe that this happens every single week. I apologize to you and also to our listeners. You were explaining trigeminal neuralgia.
Yeah. So the trigeminal nerve is the nerve, like I was saying, I don't know where I was exactly cut off, but it's the largest one of our cranial nerves that actually gives us sensation to our face. So that is good at times, right? Something gets too close that's warm, it's going to tell us to back away from that. But also when that trigeminal nerve gets inflamed, you get what we call trigeminal neuralgia. And unfortunately, that's an inflammation of that nerve that is firing for no apparent reason, right? There's no pain, there's no...
All right. Well, there it goes again. It's happened again. Unbelievable. Let me take a break, come back, and see if we can continue this segment. I really, really apologize. / am so mad that we have not gotten this fixed after all this time. We'll be right. Dr. Kevin Most, we're going to try to get some information here before the phones drop out on us again, talking about this chronic pain. Now, you know, I've seen videos because I've gone to Pat's benefit, and it's, you know, hilarious stand-up comedy is what the benefit is. But they also show stories from doctors and patients and people who are living with trigeminal neuralgia. And it's heartbreaking to watch these videos and to see people who look like they are having nails driven into their face. It's the only way that I can describe it, this pain that you were talking about from this condition, trigeminal neuralgia.
Yeah, it's so unfortunate because anybody that's had acute pain, right? You've fallen, broken a bone, you've done something, and you're like, you know what that pain is. Can you imagine if that pain continues? You know, and that's the most frustrating thing. So with trigeminal neuralgia, what the research that Pat and his group is trying to look at is two things. One is what causes this. Certainly we know that trauma can cause it. We know that there's some dental issues that can cause it. We know there's a blood vessel that can push against this nerve and cause it. But a large portion of them happen without any reason that we can't figure out. So trying to figure out, is this a virus that is getting in there similar to COVID where it's causing this nerve to fire? And then on the other side, we're trying to say, okay, how can we treat this? How can we get these patients who have this condition and get them to a point of comfort where they can have a normal life? And right now we're using pain medications, which can be sedating, can be very difficult on the stomach, can be very difficult just on your cognitive, you know, well-being for the day. And then also we're trying anti-convulsive medications that are trying to stop that nerve from firing to send something to the brain to say, I'm in pain. So trying to stop that ignition of, I'm in pain, if we can block that. But really, there's not enough upswell or groundswell to say this is something we need people to get behind. So Right. Kudos to Pat and his team for putting that on. It's the only way we're going to get more information on this, figure out how we can take care of these individuals who are so uncomfortable for the vast majority of their life.
Yeah, they showed a video last night, the story of a 46-year-old woman who was living with it. And in this video, they captured some of the moments when she was suffering from it, excruciatingly difficult to watch. And the story is that this woman, 46-year-old woman, her name is Kelly Crane, ended her own life. She committed suicide because she couldn't take the pain anymore. She couldn't take the suffering anymore. Heartbreaking. And that's how insidious, that this whole thing is. We're going to talk with Kelly's son, who wrote a song in honor of his mom. He's a singer and a songwriter, and we're going to talk to him coming up after 10 o'clock. So just one of the many things out there right now to deal with. People are texting in, have lots of questions about the COVID vaccine, quite a few questions. Can I take my COVID vaccine, my RSV vaccine, and flu shot all at the same time?
Well, I would not. Flu and COVID, I would say go ahead and do that. As you start to add another one, especially the RSV being as new as it is, that we really don't know what's the side effect profile going to be for that. You know, certainly in the studies, which were done on a fairly large number, the side effect profile was okay. But RSV is one vaccine that I am saying, make sure you talk to your doctor to make sure that he feels it's appropriate for you. So RSV, we all know, we, you know, from the age of two on, we get it. But those who are older are the individuals that we're concerned about. But certainly talking to your doctor to say, I know COVID and flu are a good idea. Is RSV a good idea for me? Now, grandparents of a newborn baby where you want to try to protect that baby, certainly a good idea to have that RSV to make sure that you're protecting that child. But as far as the protection to the individual itself, I think that's a personal discussion with you and your physician to say, what are the risks versus side effects? And is it a good idea for me to get it at this time?
Yeah, you're talking about how, you know, there's this upswing again in COVID. During this past week, since we spoke last week, three of my friends have been tested positive for COVID. So, I mean, it's definitely out there. It's definitely going around. You know, make whatever decisions you want on that for yourself. I plan on protecting myself, and I think a lot of people are planning on doing that. You had sent me a note about a cancer drug, which is also being used to treat peanut allergies. That sounds so interesting and would be helpful to so many.
Yeah, and it's really interesting that it's a cancer drug for lymphoma. Now, the interesting thing about it is it blocks this enzyme in our body called BKT. BKT has to be there and has to be firing in order for us to get an anaphylactic response. So this is one of those where we're going, well, wait a second. Now we have an idea. If we can block BKT, whether it is for peanut allergies, and I'll talk about that briefly, but more importantly, I'm getting chemotherapy, and I end up allergic to the one chemotherapy that's going to save my life. Boy, wouldn't it be great if we could pre-treat you with this medication to stop that allergic reaction from happening and allow you to get the treatment that you need. But it was incidentally found with peanut allergies, like you were saying, kind of amazing. People that were highly allergic to peanuts, after receiving this, tolerated even more and tolerated quite a bit. And they said, why? Why is this happening? And they looked to find that that's what it's doing, is it's blocking this enzyme that's causing the allergic reaction. Wow. So fascinating. Whether it's going to be used for peanut allergies and how long, will you'd have to be on it long, or is this something, hey, I'm going to take it 2 days before I get the medication that I need to save my life, and that is going to be the use of this drug. So it'll be fascinating to see how it pans out. Some work being done at Northwestern on it, so it's very interesting.
We'll keep an eye on that and keep everybody posted. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. And now we can terminate the telephone call.
Yeah, Dean, I'll look for the string coming up my driveway here probably next Saturday. I'll make sure I have a good can.
I was actually just thinking as a joke I was going to hang up on you. but I didn't want it to be taken the wrong way. Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you, Kev. Talk to you soon.
You take care. Bye.
Hey, remember, I don't know, a couple of months ago something, we were talking about CB radios?
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
Back in the day.
Sure. Sure. C.W. McCall, I think, brought that up.
C.W. McCall Convoy. Yeah.
Convoy.
We talked about our, what is it called? Your
handle.
Yeah. Handles. Yep. Mm-hmm. I was the Golden Greek. Yeah. Breaker 19.
Well, I suggested we do this.
I was a teenager then, so it would have been, Breaker 19. I actually have people request me doing that voice now when I meet them.
I can imagine, yeah.
Will you do your dorky kid voice?
Do your dorky kid voice.
Oh, boy, I don't know what you're talking about. anyway, the reason that I bring it up again, I was looking for something else on Amazon.com today because I can't waste my money enough. You know, you can buy CB radios.
Oh, yeah.
You can still buy them.
Sure you can.
Who would want one now?
Now you're going to get one now?
Why would anybody need one now?
Yeah, that's right, with the phones, what we have. I had a friend who had a CB radio in his car, and then he also installed a speaker underneath the hood.
Oh.
So you would drive by, and, you know, it was a very sophisticated Mr. Microphone.
So you could talk to people on the street.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. I remember one time we were driving home from school early during a snowstorm. He gave me a ride home, and there was a person shoveling the snow in their driveway. And he turned on the mic and started in with, "This is the way we shovel the snow, shovel the snow, shovel the snow." You should have seen the look on that person's face.
And then he got pelted by snowballs.
That was a friend of yours, huh? I would be, I would totally be, "Hey, good looking, I'll be back to pick you up later."
Yeah.
Like the famous Mr. Microphone commercial. It was like $120 on Amazon something, but didn't cost much.
Okay.
Hey, let's
go in on it? Yeah.
Let the three of us each will get one so we could talk to each other 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How about that?
I suggest we do the show from our cars with CB radios.
Fantastic idea.
Yes.
Then we don't even have to show up here and see each other. Best idea you've ever had. This is that group that we have featured before called 613 that take traditional songs for Jewish holidays and contemporize them up a little bit. This is their song Shana Tova for Rosh Hashanah, which is it's ending today, or it just ended yesterday, I think, right?
Well, I think it actually ended a couple of days ago, actually last week. This is Yom Kippur.
At
sunset today. Yeah, it's Kol Nidre, which is the evening before Yom Kippur. And tomorrow it'll be the Day of Atonement and the Day of Fasting.
Right. So Happy New Year.
Yes.
Is that Shana Tova?
Yes.
That's Shana Tova. Mm-hmm. So Happy New Year, Shana Tova, everyone. And the Day of Atonement, one of the most solemn days of the year, right?
Correct.
For Yom Kippur, which begins at sunset tonight for 24 hours.
Correct.
All right. I didn't mess that up too much.
No, you didn't mess it up at all.
Yeah. So we've been talking about Pat Tomasulo's benefit last night for research for trigeminal neuralgia. We had Dr. Kevin Most talking about it and what a horrific disease that it is. Pat Tomasulo from WGN-TV Morning News' wife, Amy, lives with trigeminal neuralgia. I've met so many people through this benefit who do and have learned what a debilitating disease that it is. And last night, the benefit was at the Park West again. It's a night of stand-up comedy. It's a hilarious night of stand-up comedy. But then they slow it down and talk about what the night is really about and raising money for this insidious disease. And it was a showstopper last night as they showed a video of a woman named Kelly Crane, who was 46 years old and lived with trigeminal neuralgia. And this video told her story. What a vivacious person, so full of life and love, especially for her son, Zach. And at the same time, lived with this horrible disease and suffered tremendously with this awful disease, showing the incredible, excruciating pain that she was in. This disease is just a nonstop attack of pain in the person's face, as Dr. Most described it to us. And the night was capped off. Kelly wound up taking her own life this past January at the age of 46 because she couldn't take the pain anymore, couldn't take the suffering anymore. But her son, Zach, who is a singer and a songwriter, wrote a song for his mom, which we'll hear in a minute. But Zach, I just wanted to bring you on the show today. And thank you for sharing your story with everybody last night. I'm sure it was one of the most difficult nights that you probably had last night, telling the story and then performing the song for your mom, right?
Dean, thank you so much for having me on, first off. And secondly, last night was truly magical. I mean, it was very, very difficult. I think the one thing that truly got me through this, though, leading up to it, I was nervous. I'm not going to lie. And I, I perform all the time, and I usually, it's my favorite thing to do, but leading up to it, weeks leading up, I was terrified, but last night was one of the most surreal moments of my life, and I felt her with me, so, and I know that she supported this cause and loved everything Pat and Amy were about, so it was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Talk to me about what your mom went through.
Oh, she, the best part about my mom was, she went through so much, and I mean, from she was one of the most talented human beings ever. She was a dancer. She was a cheerleader for the Chicago Bulls. Actually, she was in a car accident when I was one, and the car accident is what led to her developing trigeminal neuralgia. And despite all of that, myself growing up, she was a cheerleader for the Bulls. She taught dance. She did everything that she wanted. She wanted to live out her dreams, and she made them happen, despite the pain. But, I mean, every single day it was excruciating pain. It was 24-7 for, like I mentioned, 26 years. So absolutely unbelievable monster of an illness and a disease, and she fought it like a warrior. So
yeah, I tell you, one of our editors at WGN-TV, Mike D'Angelo, put together that amazing video on your mom's life and what she went through that we all watched last night. It was amazingly assembled and put together. And a couple of things that I walked away from after seeing this video, I'd never met your mom, but I walked away with some people who are just so full of life and so full of joy and so full of love. That's the impression of what I got the impression, like that I knew your mom, Kelly, from that she was just a person full of love for everyone and full of laughter and jokes and dancing and just, you know, lived her life so carefree. Am I correct about that?
Oh, you hit it right on the head, Dean. And she's always smiling, always. And I mean, literally always. If you didn't see her smiling, I mean, obviously we're all human, you know, we all get down and we all have our demons, but she, especially when I was around, she always made sure her smile was as big as the world. So she's always happy, always laughing, always making jokes and always dancing. Yeah. So
the other thing that I took out of this, the other thing that I took out of this video was her unlimited love for you. How much she loved Zach and wanted Zach to fulfill his dreams, your dreams. All she wanted was for you to be happy and to live out your dreams. Am I correct about that also?
Oh, yep. Yes, sir. It's she lived for me, and I always wanted to, I always did my best to live for her and to feel as alive as I could. And like you said, you know, she inspired me to just pursue my dreams and chase after the stars. So it's all I did forever. And I will always have her to thank for that.
Yeah. I can't imagine how devastating it must have been when she took her own life in January. But as you spoke about last night, and we spoke personally after the show, you are constantly motivated by the gifts that your mom gave you in the limited time that you had together.
Yes. She, despite everything, you know, it was very, okay, so obviously I witnessed her struggling for so, so long. I just, in the back of my mind, I always sadly knew that day, that could be something that I'd have to face one day. But definitely having it actually happen so early on in my life, especially, and so early on in her life, that was the hardest part for me. But, you know, like I said, I mean, I've found my purpose. I have found my why. And I've found the driving factor that wakes me up every single morning.
Yeah, you wrote this beautiful song for your mom, which we'll hear in just a moment. As part of the video presentation last night, though, there was a voicemail message that your mom had left for you and other family members saying that she was sorry and that she just couldn't take the pain anymore. She couldn't take the suffering anymore. What was that like for you to hear that? Because I can imagine there might have been a lot of different emotions hearing a voicemail like that.
It was, so one thing with my mom and I, and I think I honestly, I'm realizing it in this very moment right now. My friends always give me a hard time about it, but my mom and I are the people who send voice memos. And I honestly, now I'm thinking about it, I think I got it from her. But, you know, it was knowing that she left me that warmed my heart, but I will be honest. It took me until Mother's Day, months later, to actually finally listen to it, because I knew that was the last true thing that I had from her and the last words I could hear from her. So I held on to them, but I knew I needed to hear it. So I did it, and I am so happy I did. It was incredibly hard to hear.
Yeah.
But like I said, it had to be done. And now it's not like it's gone. I can listen to it whenever I need to. And I have all the other incredible, funny or,
right,
you know, inspiring voice memos, sure, or voicemails that she's left me in the past.
Now, had you written the song until then prior to hearing that message?
I did. I wrote that song in April, end of April, I believe I wrote it, and then I knew I wanted to just get it out by Mother's Day. It was kind of so, really quickly, as Pat shared last night, my mom always wanted, for Christmas, for Mother's Day, any day you'd give a gift, you know, or something expected, she wouldn't expect anything. She always asked for a song. And my whole life, until since I started writing music and poetry, I was never able to deliver that to her. And I knew that this Mother's Day, I was like, you know what, Mom, like, I finally know what I want to write about. And I went in my room and I wrote that song in about an hour. And it's the most powerful of my all-time favorite song I've ever written. So, and it's my little gift to her. So.
Yeah, powerful is an understatement. Listen to this, everybody, especially the very end of the song. It's Zach Crane, Until Then. That is powerful. Zach, congratulations on a wonderful tribute to your mom. I was in tears.
Thank you.
Tears last night, tears again today.
Oh, man, thank you. Dude.
Listening
thank
to you. It. And if people want to learn more about your music and things that you have coming up, what's the best way to do that?
Excuse me, man. I'm
you're a little choked up yourself, of course, yeah.
A little bit. But, yeah, Dean, you know, if anybody would like to find my music or anything about me, I am on social media. Zach Crane, ZACHCREAN. I'm on Spotify. I'm on Apple Music, YouTube. I'm on pretty much anywhere where you can listen to music. Okay. You can find me. So.
All right. And keep us posted, yeah, and we'll let everybody know here as well. Zach Crane, pleasure to meet you last night, and have a great Sunday today, Zach. Thank you.
Thank you, Dean. Have a good one.
All right, at 10:40, let's get into our abbreviated weekend theater segment. What's going on stage in Chicago? Little Shop of Horrors still going strong out at the Paramount in Aurora. Hamilton, the musical, the big show downtown right now until the end of the year. But just opened last week a show called Lehman Trilogy that was the Tony Award winner for Best Play last year in New York, and the show has now come to Chicago. It's at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. It's the story of the three Lehman brothers who created one of the biggest financial successes, and also were responsible for one of the greatest financial disasters ever of all time. Immigrant family who produced these brothers who were able to do so much. We talked with the stars of Lehman Trilogy on WGN-TV the other day, and they told us more about it.
Talk to me a little bit about this show and, from where it came and how they, Joey, how did they even develop all of this? What an interesting plot line for a story.
It's an incredible plot line. It's a really dense, beautiful play. The three of us play a number, I would say maybe 25 characters, different characters. We play the three Lehman brothers. We play their offspring. We play their wives, their grandchildren. And, you know, the play is really about the capitalism, the immigrant story, just so many different beautiful themes. And it's incredibly exciting to perform, and these guys are amazing, and it's really fun to be on stage with them.
Yeah, Mitchell, what really struck me with it is this immigrant story of mm-hmm. this family that really came over with nothing.
That's right.
And, turned out to be everything that ultimately crashed, as, we all know.
Yeah.
But, that's a story which is so timely,
yes.
even still today.
That's the thing that we talk about a lot, is that this is a story about the Lehman Brothers and how 2008 there was a financial crash. But it's really about the immigrant experience of everyone in America. We are the melting pot, right? And so these three brothers came over in the middle of the 1800s with nothing. And were able to capitalize on what we call the American dream. And so this play sort of explores what happened to that as years go on, and what happens to each new immigrant group that comes to America and tries to achieve that thing, and maybe it's become more difficult because of, the times that we're in.
Yeah,
it's fascinating.
Anish, talk to me about why you think this is, the immigrant's story to me is so compelling. What else makes this such a compelling story for audiences?
It's a story about family, about tradition, about values, and I think that the play explores the cost to that, those values and that tradition with the pursuit of the American dream, whatever that is for individuals. And I think that we as a society, purely an American society, pursue that dream at any cost. And so I think that every person that has immigrated to the country or has been raised by immigrants in this country will identify with a piece of the story that it's trying to tell.
Yeah, how challenging, Joey, is it to play that many characters?
Not at all challenging.
Hard enough to remember one role, right?
It's incredibly challenging. It's incredibly, incredibly challenging. I would say personally, it's been a challenge, but a beautiful, amazing challenge. And there's nothing better than live theater.
Yeah.
And also the play has a lot of humor in it. There are some very, very funny moments and characters, and yeah, it's exciting. It's really exciting.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the experience of being in the show in a fairly small house and the intimacy that will bring to an audience.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it because, especially a play like this with a lot of its as narration, we're speaking out to the audience. So the audience is going to be a character in this play in a way, right? And so we're ready to be in that intimate space and be able to really interact with the audience. That's part of the fun of it. We're working really hard so that this play, I think people get intimidated at the idea of a 3-hour play, and we're going to make sure that it's going to roll, right? We're working hard so that when you get there, you can't believe it's already over.
Yeah.
Some
3-hour plays seem like 12-hour plays.
Right. We're going to make ours seem like 10 minutes.
But others like fly by because they're so interesting and the characters are so interesting and the storylines are so interesting. I mentioned that we have a rogues gallery of Chicago theater. You're all veterans of the Chicago theater scene. Anisha just mentioned to me as we were walking into the studio that we talked when you were in A Christmas Carol at the Goodman years ago. Talk to me a little bit about the Chicago theater scene and what you think it means. And
well, we are about the work, right? We support each other as a community. There have been a number of theaters here that really are focused on the work. They're focused on making sure that we tell the story as clear as possible. So I think that there's a tradition here about taking risks, being aggressive with the choices that we're making as performers, and really including the community in that storytelling. So, theater right now is going through some challenging times, and I think a story like this you won't be able to see on a streaming platform. Yeah. You have to come and experience it in person. And Timeline and Broadway in Chicago are working together to really bring this immersive experience, this epic play, to an audience, and we encourage everyone to come out and see it.
Yeah, I've seen so many shows out of town that I said this would never fly in Chicago. Mm. The audiences are too smart in Chicago to accept a lot of junk that people are putting out elsewhere. I think we're so fortunate here in Chicago with all the great theater companies and actors that we have. The Lehman Trilogy will be at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower. It is 175 East Chestnut. You can get tickets at BroadwayInChicago.com. That's September 19th through 29th, by the way. For more information, BroadwayInChicago.com or TimelineTheater.com. Guys, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Look forward to seeing the opening.
Yeah, Joey Slotnick and Mitchell Fain and Anish Jethmalani are starring in the show. They visited with me on WGN-TV to talk about the Tony Award-winning play, The Lehman Trilogy, which is at the Broadway in Chicago, Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place, and has now been extended through November the 16th. So if you get an opportunity, if you're into great dramas, this is very definitely one to see. Let's get a little mini food segment when we come right back from the break. It is 10:51. Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. Yeah, this is Usher. You heard him sing it. He's going to be performing the Super Bowl halftime show this year. Was just announced. Which team probably will not be in the Super Bowl? Well, Hamp and OB and Andy Major will be talking about all that coming up at 11 o'clock with Bears pregame. So stand by for that. Tomorrow, by the way, on the WGN-TV Morning News, I'm going to be cooking a very unusual Monday cooking segment. Normally, I do them on Wednesday. And I will be cooking on Wednesday, by the way, as well. But tomorrow, we have a celebrity who will be in, an A-lister, will be cooking with me. Cedric the Entertainer is going to be in Chicago. He and Anthony Anderson from the TV show Blackish, among many other projects, have collaborated together for a new spice mix for barbecue and grilling. And I'm going to be out on the grill with Cedric. And I'm going to be cooking up some things using his new spice mix. So tune in tomorrow morning. I think it's about 9:30 tomorrow morning that we'll be back out on the grill. Then my regular Wednesday cooking segment will do, as always. We've got the AIDS Walk, which is coming up, AIDS Run and Walk, which is next Saturday just outside of Soldier Field, 9:30 in the morning. We've got that coming up. We've got the Chicago Marathon coming up on October the 8th. So I thought it would be a good day to carb up. We've got some carb recipes, some special pasta dishes. It's a pasta dish. The sauce is what really makes it special. I've also got a farro recipe that I'm going to be doing that Wednesday as well. Farro is the ancient grain, which is also super high carb. Normally, you know, we're looking for recipes that are kind of lower, at least medium carb. For this coming Wednesday, we're going especially high carb for those of you who are either going to be in the Chicago Marathon on October 8th or joining me out at the AIDS Walk and Run next Saturday morning, just outside of Soldier Field. Actually, the walk and run steps off at 10:30, but we'll be out there at 9:30 in the morning with all the opening ceremonies, like we've done pretty much since the beginning of AIDS Walk. So we'll look forward to seeing you all out there. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about what we did last week on my TV cooking segment. We did some apple recipes. How do you like them apples is what we called it. Right now, apples are in prime season, And, you know, a lot of people are going out to Long Grove. They're having their big Apple Fest this weekend, or going out and picking their own apples. Stores are loaded with the peak of apples right now. So last Wednesday, we did a couple of apple recipes. The one that I got the most feedback on was the baked apple French toast casserole that I did, where I took some Granny Smith apples. I peeled them, cored them. I cut them into, I would say, like at least 1.5, 2-inch pieces. I don't want to cut them into too small of a dice. But I cut all those, got all of that ready, and then put together the brioche bread, cut that into small pieces. That went into a baking dish with some half and half and some milk and vanilla extract and brown sugar and cinnamon. So all of that, I let all of that soak together. In the meantime, the apples I put in a pan with some brown sugar and cinnamon and butter, and didn't cook them down to the point where they were soft, but I just took the freshness out of them, you know what I mean, a little bit, and then mixed that in with the brioche bread. You can use French bread if you want to as well. All that got mixed together, then into the oven, 350 degrees for about 40 minutes or so, with eggs and, you know, so forth, and it rises up into a beautiful French toast casserole with these beautiful chunks of nice, sweet Granny Smith apples in there. Super delicious. I also did an apple cider donut hole. I've got the recipes for both of these up at WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. But use some apples right now. They don't get any better than they do this time of year.